And you should also have Yiras Shamayim. I don't understand. I just got to the highest level of Hashem. I'm not seeking consciously or subconsciously any reward whatsoever. I just want to serve the Almighty because I love Him so much. That's it. So didn't I get to the peak to see how my dream goes? Hello, what? It must be. Avos Hashem is great, but it needs necessarily to be coupled by Yiras Shamayim.
Question.
He needs to have Yira. And that's why another Benaviyu, as we said, and Rabbi Gedalia Shoran or Gedayo, the Slonim Rebbe Nesim Shalom. Now, Benaviyu, what did they do that they died? Didn't they love Hashem so much they couldn't hold back? It's great to love Hashem, but you need to have boundaries. That's why by Maimon Har Sinai, what was the one Asara that was repeated three times? More than anything else, writes the Chidush Ha'arim, because the foundation of Klai Yisrael is, you have to know your boundaries. This is where Moshe goes, and this is where Yeshua and the Zakenim go, and this is where the men stand and the women stand, this is where the animals are. Everyone has to know his or her place. Knowing your place in this world, and that is Yiras Shamayim. Meaning what? Knowing my boundaries. Aye, but what's the test of the Jewish people? Everybody wants to keep climbing. Delta, make that thing a frame. It's the phase. A phrase of Delta is keep climbing. And that's what Yid wants to do. A Jew wants to keep climbing. Imagine by Hasina now, Hashem says, I know everyone wants to get to the top of the mountain. Everybody, look how many people want to get to the top of Everest. And unfortunately, how many hundreds have died climbing to the top of Everest over the years. Everybody wants to make it to the top. But sometimes you got to know that's not our place. We have to know our place and be mashlim fulfill our respective tafkid. And knowing our place, that's why we need Yira. If we didn't have Yira, we'd always be running after Hashem. We'd always be running everywhere. And that's why everyone would be running up to the Kodesh, running up to the Sefer Torah. And that's what Yisrael Salanta used to say. And you know what the natural inclination of a person, you see a Sefer Torah come by. Everybody wants to run, everyone wants to kiss the Sefer Torah. He says, but how many toes did you step on the way there? Have you stepped on one toe? Had to go kiss the Sefer Torah? Had to mitzvah baba veirin, you lost the whole thing. And the same way, a person parks in an illegal parking space to get dominion. And what's that going to say about his davening? Or of Yisrael Salanta's famous Marshall, he says, a person came and asked him once, what kavanah should he have when he puts on his talus in the morning? So, he was thinking, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, the Gilad Ador, he's going to tell him all the Kabbalistic kavanahs and intents when he's putting on the talus. What should you be thinking about? He says, you know what you should be thinking about primarily? That when you take the talus and you put it over your head, make sure the strings don't hit anyone in the eye. That's the number one kavanah. Because Bein Adam L'Malkum is meaningless without the accompaniment of Bein Adam L'Chaveru. You need to know your place. Avos Hashem needs to be with you. If everyone's running to the top, what happens? You get in trouble. Everyone's got to know his or her place. That's why you need Yiras Shamayim. So you're a mitzvah, right? So put her. Yiras Shamayim. There's no Avos Shamayim. Because if I love Hashem, I go way beyond the heavens. I don't love the heavens. I love Hashem who resides in the heavens above. So there's no concept in Chazal of Avos Shamayim. You don't love Shamayim. You love Hashem. But when you talk about Yira, you have the requisite level of Yira, and then you've already been misrachik, you've distanced yourself, because I'm retreating, so I have a concept of Yiras Hashem, and that's one madrega, then I have what's called Yiras Shamayim, then I'm so filled with Yira, and that merely viewing the Shamayim already causes me to retreat. I'm already holding back, I can't even talk about Hashem, I can't even have the word Hashem scheme of lips, it's one right to hunger. I already have Yira from the Shamayim, but who can even think about talking about Yiras Hashem? Even just seeing the Shamayim, the heavens, the ever-expanding universe, even that instills fear and awesomeness in me. So we were not talking about loving mitzvahs, we're talking about what? I'm so afraid of a mitzvah. Who's someone who's never going to scorn a mitzvah? And you can love a mitzvah, but you know what? Even people we love, we sometimes insult. Because we feel, oh, they know I love them, oh, it's okay. If you love it, that's not going to hold it back. What's going to hold it back is Yirei Mitzvah. I'm so afraid of the mitzvah, there's a pachad, and the Yiras HaChet, I can't say a bad thing about the mitzvah. Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik used to say, that as Talmud Reb Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the Birka Shmuel, wrote a famous sefer on Shas, his Talmud Bovot, he says, my Talmud Reb Baruch Ber is not going to get any reward in Olam Haba for not doing affairs. And why? Because he worked on himself so diligently over the years, that he got to an incredible spiritual madriga, that he doesn't even have the Yetzirah to do an Aveira anymore. So he gets unbelievable schar because he took himself to that madriga, and that he doesn't even have the Yetzirah to do an Aveira anymore. He gets unbelievable schar. Hamad got himself to such a level, he has such a path, not such a yirut from chait, that's not shaykh to do a sin. It's like standing by a fire. If you see the fire, yes, you have a chira of the etzim, inherently you still have absolute free will. You're never going to jump in that fire because there's a pach hanorah. You don't want to get burnt. He didn't want to get burnt from an aveirah. There's a pach hanorah. If you fear mitzvahs, and you will be complete because you will never be mavazah. You will never scorn. You will never disparage any of them. And that's the appropriate contrast. Again, Bozadari Chamalo, Rashi, don't ever be mavazah words of Torah. Otherwise, they can come back and haunt you and damage you. According to the Mitzvah's Dover, don't be mavazah any Dover Shal Mitzvah. Again, that can lead to Chamalo, or as a Hirsch understood, like Rashi, you might be taken as collateral for that Mitzvah, but a Yerei Mitzvah, if you properly fear the Mitzvahs, who you shalom, you will be complete. And that's where the Mitzvah's Dover concludes. The contrast is a malayorim and a mitzvah, umegaldo malosa, and you highlight and embellish the milah of what a mitzvah is all about. Yeshulam oschar gambo burzeh. So what's the chiddush over here? It's gemalik. Not only will you not be harmed, you will get schar. But more than that, not only will you get reward for actually performing the ma'aseh mitzvah, because you're afraid, you don't want to transgress, so you're going to do the ma'aseh mitzvah, you're going to get reward for being machshir the ma'aseh mitzvah. This is a big chiddush. That means when you do a mitzvah, Reuben and Shimon can do the same ma'aseh mitzvah, and they can do it with the same kavanos. And this one's going to get 10 brownie points on his chart in heaven, and Shimon's going to get 10 brownie points on his chart in heaven. But if Reuben was machshir, gave an incredible attachment importance, and a consequence to that ma'aseh mitzvah, his reward is going to be far greater than his colleague Shimon, because he's going to get a set reward just for being machshir the mitzvah. Hashem says, don't just do the mitzvah, be machshir them. That itself is giving chashivus to the Borei Olam, to Hashem Yisbarach, to the Torah Kedosha. You're just attaching an importance to the ma'aseh mitzvah. It's a whole different ballgame. Someone who's excited to go into a sukkah and understands what a sukkah is all about and is thinking on another kavod and is thinking, wow, what a chashiv a mitzvah Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. And then he sits in the sukkah, he gets much more schar than his colleague Shimon, who just walked in and said, I'm doing the ma'aseh mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah. To love the mitzvahs and to fear them, and that's going to bring about Yishulam. Again, the way Rashi Mitzvah is governed, not will you not be taken negatively as a collateral. On the contrary, you're going to be rewarded, and you're going to be doubly rewarded. So Yishulam is Lashon what? As Lashon, a terminology of compensation, you'll be paid up. I pay you up. So this is what? Yishulam, you will be paid up, you will receive compensation. That's not how the Vilna Gaon learns. Now listen to this fascinating take of the Vilna Gaon of the Pasuk. No, the Gaon says, what's really going on here? And why the Lashon Chavala? And why the Lashon of Yishulam like the Gra? It's so matim, this contrasting terminology of Yechavel versus Yishulam. And writes the Vilna Gaon, Ki Yesh Ramach Eivor Badim, there are 248 limbs in the human being, but Kenegan corresponding to those of the Ramach Mitzvahs, I say, 248 positive commandments. The Chen Kaldover Yishul Koach Chiyonim and HaMitzvahs. And you know what's giving life, spiritual nourishment to each and every one of your organs? There's a mitzvah that corresponds to each and every one. The Lachain Habas, the Shindvar mitzvah, he's learning. Like the Mitzvah's Dabbin, we're talking about being Mavaz and mitzvahs. If you're going to scorn any single mitzvah, what you're doing is you're causing damage to that Aver that corresponds to that mitzvah. What's providing sustenance and nourishment to our body? What's giving our body, of course, is the physical, the blood that's circulating and giving life. And what's giving life to that? The fact that there's spiritual infusion of koach into our body. When Hashem takes away the neshama, the body falls by the wayside. So Hashem says, I'm giving you 248 mitzvahs, I say. I'm giving you shesal mitzvahs, I say. 248 positive commandments. Coupled with 365 negative commandments. 248 corresponds to the limbs and the body because every mitzvah on a spiritual level is infusing sustenance and nourishment into that limb to which it corresponds. And now that's an important point because we don't do all 248 mitzvahs. Mm. So the Mabit and his Kiryat Sefer in the Ramah and others say, but if you attach yourself to every other Jew, you get his or her mitzvahs. If you love every other Jew, call yourself a Reivim Zebazeb, and call yourself Reivim Zebazeb, you're united and connected with every single other Jew, you get his or her mitzvahs, but you got to love them, you got to connect to them. And then you get their mitzvahs. If you don't connect to them, then you don't have their mitzvahs. Same way we love the Kohanim, we get all the mitzvahs that the Kohanim do. Or another way out, Gemara says, Menuchas Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, we can go ahead and learn the parsha that's on the Kohanim for that mitzvah. And we don't have Kohanim today, recite the parsha of Tavit, Kol HaKorei Parsha Tavit, Kilo Hikra Vosa, it's as if you actually offered as a sacrifice of Kohanim Tavit, Sheikolon HaLokha Separatetu Mitzvah, and in a certain sense it's considered as if you did a bot, the longer you do, you can connect. We mentioned in the text in a fascinating medrash. It's bought by the Sam Sefer, Parshas Vayechi, and by the Abderov in the Old Yisrael. When they brought the sons of Yaakov, brought the body of Yaakov to be interred in Marsah, paying this final resting place, Esav stood at the entrance and said to Yaakov, Yaakov, either I'm going with you to Gan Eden, or you're going with me to Gan Eden. And Yaakov answers back, Ani avticha v'ata saneit oti. I loved you and you hated me. Ask the Sam Sefer, the Abderov, they say the same part, the same shtukatah. What exactly was going on in the dialogue? I mean, this is a machlokus we showed him how many mitzvahs they have to do to go into Gan Eden. The Rambam says, Pesach Shnayis, Makkos 22b, you only have to do one. Hashem loves us so much, he gives us 613 opportunities to do one mitzvah, Bishle Musa, and if you do one mitzvah in its complete state, you're zocha, you get your ticket to Gan Eden. But many are showing how you have to do all time mitzvahs. How do you get to Taryag? Like we said, the Mavita Kiryat Sefer, to love every other Jew, and then I get all your mitzvahs. Say, Esav says to Yaakov, Mimon Hashach, however you look at it, you're in trouble. If you hold like the Rambam, you only have to do one mitzvah to go to Gan Eden. So who is the quintessential Machabe Av? Esav is the one who would demonstrate what a little is Kibbut Avim is all about. At least Kibbut Av. Remember, Shrabban Fashas told us, says, Amor Roshim Leo, Kayoma Yayisi Machabe Yis Avi, all my days I serve my father, and I'm here to admit below Echad Mimea Mashakib and Esav is Yitzhak Avi. It wasn't even 1/100th of the Kibbut Av that Esav demonstrated. And how does he explain? He says, Shari ani nechnosti bebegodim imulchlochem. If I was out in the field working and my clothes were dirty, I still would go serve my father, my disheveled appearance, my uncomely appearance, even my dirty clothes. But Esav, hayi nechnos bebidnei machos. You know how much he was machshiv the mitzvah of Kibbut Av? He always donned royal garb. He was going in to greet my father. And he put on royal garments every time he went to serve his father. So he's the quintessential Mechabed Av. So Esav says to Yaakov, if all you have to do is like the Rambam one mitzvah, I go with you to Gan Eden. And if you only have to do all the Tayyad, you were missing one. Which one were you missing? 22 years of Kibbut Av when you went away from home. And so, then if you only have to do them all, you were missing that mitzvah, so you're going with me to Gehenna. Yaakov answers back, I loved you and you hated me. Explains this Sam Sefer. Really, we hold, like most who showed him, you have to do all the Tayyak mitzvahs. How do you get all Tayyak? Koy the Sari of himself, if you connect to the Jewish people. Zilsa Meresh, if you love every other Jew, then you get their mitzvahs because you're attaching your neshama to theirs. And it comes, neshama's sure as a bazoo, you get their side. And Yaakov says, Esav, I loved you. I get the one mitzvah that I'm missing because I loved you. I get your kibbut av, but you hated me. You don't get the other 612. I'm going to Gan Eden and you're going to Gan Eden. The idea is what? You got to connect to other Jews. If you connect, you get all 248, and that's why Hashem says that's the way I created the world. And what's the reflection? Everything that takes place in the spiritual realm has a reflection manifestation down here in the world of the material and the world of the mundane. And notice how in this world, if you want water, anything you want, you still need somebody else. You need someone else to dig a well, someone else to package the pollen spring. You need someone else to bring it to you. God set up the world, and nobody in this world can ever be self-sufficient. Someone needs to plant, someone's chopping it down. No one is endowed with the skills to be completely self-sufficient. Everything is needed. I'm not talking about, yes, there was a study, there was a journalist a few years ago who rented an apartment. And the apartment was empty, no food, no furniture, garnish. And he wrote an article how based on just having a laptop computer, you can sustain yourself for as long as you want. He said, I'm going to show you 30 days. And he was in the apartment, and he went to the apartment with nothing, no food, no drink, and all he had was a laptop. But he wrote a study, all you need is the World Wide Web. And what did he do? He did grocery shopping online, and delivery service online. Amazon, food, whatever. He got his furniture online. He got his refrigerator online. Everything. And it was all delivered to his house. He didn't have to leave the apartment. And he was writing an article how nowadays, at the end of the day, you still need a delivery person. Still need someone to make the food, to produce the food, to package the food. God set up the world. You can't exist alone. You need to be part of other people. That's what God wants. He wants the world to work in unison. So too, notice how God says there's no Jew who could do all the mitzvahs himself. It's not China. Every Jew needs somebody else, because that's what's going on in the spiritual realm. Kodesh HaRei was saying, you need to unite with other Jews. And that's how I get all mitzvahs, and that's how I get to Shleimus Adam. I can only get to Shleimus if I attach myself to every other Jew in the world. I get your mitzvahs, you get mine, and we bring the package deal. So we have 240 positive commandments corresponding to 140 mitzvahs. Each performance of a mitzvah, or loving someone who himself or herself performs that mitzvah, provides sustenance to that neighbor. If I don't provide sustenance, I continue to go on the gum, and then what's going to happen? I'm going to be missing the koach hachiyuni, the nourishing, life-giving force to that neighbor. But yirei mitzvah, hu yishalom, hayorei milazo shum mitzvah, someone who's afraid to ever abandon a single mitzvah, and wrote to the kind, but everybody wants to fulfill every mitzvah, he has sholim b'chalei varv, not paid-up compensation. The Vilna Gaon understands who you shalom, you will be complete. The same way the Vilna Gaon says, the Gemara says in the end of Brachas, Daf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, we tell a Mesa, deceased person, Lech Bishalom, Chi Bishalom. Go in peace, because you're already in Shlemus. Whatever Shlemus you retained in your life, that's it. You can't work towards Shlemus any longer. But a living person, what do we say? Lech Lishalom. Go towards peace. What does that mean? You're always striving endlessly. Lishalom. You're always striving towards peace. Keep climbing. Keep going up. The Nabi Zachari, for a Gimel Pasuk Zayin. Nasati Lacham, Halcha, Meinon, Meila. I'm always on left. Always on the move, always on the go, always striving. Lech Lishalom. When you wish Shalom Aleichem, writes the Gemara, God, Shalom Aleichem doesn't mean peace be unto you. It means I'm giving you a bracha of Shlemus. Shlemus should be unto you, writes the Gemara, God. Shalom Aleichem, I want you to get to Shlemus. I want you to get to Shlemus. How do you get to Shlemus? That's why you're intertwined. You can only get there if there's peace. Because you can only get to Shlemus if you get everybody else's mitzvahs. How are you going to get everybody else's mitzvahs? Only if there's peace and harmony between you and everybody else. That's why the two words are interlinked, interconnected. You can only get to Shlemus if you're with Shalom with everybody else. If you're not with Shalom like an Esav, you're not going to get Yaakov's mitzvahs. So Shalom Aleichem, I'm giving you a bracha of peace, because only through having peace with everybody else will you get to Shlemus. And that's the bracha that I'm giving you. Shalom Aleichem, I want to give you a bracha of Shlemus. You should get to completion. The Gita, 365 negative commandments. That corresponds to the sinews. You can have all the Yivarim in the world. What holds the Yivarim together? What holds and locks the limbs in place are the sinews, the Gita. So too, what gives us form and fashion? Explains the Maral Miprav, the beginning of Tiferes Yisrael. Maral says, what gives you form, what gives your body a skeletal framework, are the bones in the body, the Ramach HaRam, the bones of the limbs. But if you didn't have sinews connected and locking those bones in place, then what would happen? The bones would fall right down to the floor. You need the 365 sinews to connect to link. So they're not serving an active purpose. They're not giving you a proactive form and figure. But what they're doing is, they're preventing that form from falling down. Hashem gave us 240 of mitzvahs aseh. This is the way to build yourself up. This is the way to connect to Hashem. But if you transgress the negative commandments, that falls by the wayside. The negative commandments correspond to the sinews, which prevent the Evarim from falling down. You need to not do certain Averos, which are going to create the falling down of those Maisa Mitzvahs. That's why, let's go to Gemara the Anamakas. Gemara says, Anamakas, the bottom of Chav Gimel Amad Beis, 23b, that there are 248 positive commandments corresponding to 248 limbs. 365 negative commandments corresponding to what? Not like the Zohar, which says corresponding to the 365 sinews, corresponding to the 365 days of the year. Ask Samar Al-Miprach, when do we use the solar calendar? Don't we use the lunar calendar? Don't we count on Chodesh Nisan Hadashim? We use the lunar calendar. Why over here, by mitzvahs and averus, do we invoke the solar calendar that every day of the solar year screams out? Don't transgress the Avera, the sin and iniquity that corresponds to my day. Explains the Maral. You know why we need the lunar calendar? Because the solar calendar, of course, goes after the sun. And what allows Mother Nature to continue? What provides photosynthesis and enables the world, all of Kimonoganoe, the sun? The sun stops functioning for a second, there's no world. Meaning what? Hashem is giving life, the mitzvahs are giving life to your body. About what? But the days of the year which correspond to negative commandments say, don't mess with Mother Nature. Don't mess with the way God set things up to be. I'm giving you 248 limbs, and they're connected by the sinews. The same way the sinews hold them in place, the sun holds the world in place. The sun enables and empowers the world physically to continue. So the sun also cries out and says, don't violate the negative commandment that corresponds to my day, because I'm here to maintain the world. The Los Essays are about maintenance. Maintain that skeletal structure and framework which you've produced, i.e. day the 248 mitzvahs. Don't transgress a negative command which corresponds to the sinews which hold the world, hold your body in place, just as the sun is holding Mother Nature, is holding the world in place, allowing it and enabling it to continue. That's the idea why the Gra says there's a mitzvah corresponding to every day, and a losase corresponding to every day. In fact, the Sam Sofer says, which losase corresponds to Tishma? Well, if we have the Zohar and the Gemara Makkos interrelated, the 365 days of the year, and the 365 Gidim, which is the one Gid that we have no Shaychus to? The Gid HaNosha. There's one Gid that the Goyim got the better part of us. Esav got us in the Gid HaNosha. What's the one day of the year that the Goyim can always get us on? Tisha B'Av, Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni. Writes the Sam Sefer, and the Gid that corresponds to Tishma is the Gid HaNosha. That's the one day that Esau had a shlita, had a sovereignty over Yaakov. That's the day that the Goyim can get us, because that's the one Gid that we don't have a full shlita over, the Gid HaNosha. But in the future, we're going to have the Gid HaNosha is going to be kosher, as I'll say, because we're going to have a shlita, sovereignty over even Esau, and we're going to bring about a tikkun, and that's going to be the happiest day of the year. Yogam LeSimcha, Tishma will be restored into the true Moed that it is. It will become the happiest day of the year, and that's the day the Mashiach is born. Tafka on the day of Tishma. 365 days of the year, 365 sinews, and Ramachei Varim, that's the mesh, that's the 613, that's what brings Shleimus. Yerei Mitzvah, then I'm going to make sure to perform the mitzvahs. I'm going to love the mitzvahs, and I'm going to make sure not to transgress any of them. Hu Yishalom, and that will ensure that I'm going to be paid up. I will get to completion. And this is something that shy to the guy as well. The Meiri writes in his commentary on Shlei, and the Beis HaBachira, Meiri says, even by the guy, let's go back to Makas Borah. What happened by plague number 7? Hayori es devar Hashem. What did the Pasuk say in Parshas Vayera? So it was Moshe said, anyone who wants, bring your cattle, your servants, your livestock into the house, and you won't have Makas Borah. And people didn't listen. The Pasuk says, anyone who is Yori is Devar Hashem. The Borah did not adversely affect that person. And the Briskarab says, don't think it's because if you went into the house, the roof overhead shielded you from the torrential downpour and from the hailstorm. No way. The Pasuk, and he brings a proof from the Lashon HaMikra, the hail didn't even go onto the roofs. It's not the pshat that the hail went everywhere, but since you were in the house, it protected you. No. Hashem wanted to highlight that it's Hashem controlling the world and the world of nature, and there's a massive hailstorm. The hail and the rocks and everything that was pelting down, the ish and the borah, it all fell on the outside. Anywhere inside, it didn't even fall on the rooftops. To show that Hashem was controlling where it would go and where it would not go. The same way Hashem controls the movement of every single snowflake, every single drop of rain, Hashem Yisbrach is controlling it all. So to the Borah, Hayari Sparsham, even the guy, if you're Yari Barsham, who you shalom, you'll be in a state of shalom, of peace and harmony. You'll be safe, and that's all alluded to in this passage. So Boz Adam Yechav Alo, Yari Mitzvah, who you shalom, that's where you're going to get to Shleimus. And one final point in the Pasuk, Rav Hirsch, and this is a very, very big issue. And Rav Hirsch says, as we pointed out, Boz Adam, it didn't say your mavaza, the greatest mitzvah. It didn't even say bos le dvar mitzvah or le dvar Torah. Bos le dvar is the generic term. The generic label for everything in this world is what? Is a dvar, is a thing. Why do we label everything generically? Because everything came into being with dvar Hashem shamayim nasu, of ruach piv kol tzvah. Everything came into world as a dvar Hashem. Hashem spoke and it came to be. So Mamela, what is it? It's a dover. I don't know exactly its function, but it came into the world as a dibur of Hashem. Mamela, it's a dover, and explains to Moshe Shapiro, just like it came into the world, I yaday the dibur of Hashem, and the asura mamoros, every dover is being medaber. Everything is speaking to us, but we don't know. We can't hear it. We're not attuned to it. The same way the dolphins and whales can communicate by miles, or the creature on land that they communicate over the largest expanse of space, is the elephant. Believe it or not, elephants can communicate over areas miles apart from one another. How do they do it? You know, they have very sensitive feet. Elephants stomp on the ground, and they create vibrations in the ground. And they send messages through vibrations in the ground. Another elephant can pick up the messages. Think about it like a Morse code. And it's bouncing on the ground, and it could feel and send vibrations, send it to another elephant 5 miles away. That's why there's a great book. It's called Always Follow the Elephants. And if you go back to the tsunami a number of years ago, when there were over 250,000 people who lost their life, they found barely any animal carcasses. Why? Because all the animals know, if you see the elephants on the run, you always follow the elephants. And all the animals follow the elephants to high ground, because the elephants, they can sense that shift in tectonic plates underground, even under the sea, from miles away. So they already felt the shift, they felt something, they felt the rumbling. They know immediately to go to high ground. All the animals know, you follow the elephants, they found barely any. The few that they found, if you have dogs or cats, domesticated, locked inside their homes. But other than that, all the animals wrapped up and down. Because you always follow the elephants. So, that, if you're going to take out something today, make sure. Oh, you see the elephants on the run? Follow the elephants. And so everything is speaking to us. Every creature is speaking. We don't always hear it. We're not attuned to it. It's on a different level, a different frequency. And that means what? That over here Shlomo saying, I'm referring to everything in the world. Now listen to these words of Rav Hirsch. On this pasuk, whoever disdains anything, writes Rav Hirsch, even a pin should not be disdained, because someday you might miss it. How many times did you throw out that safety pin, that bobby pin, and right when you needed it, it wasn't there? And neither should you consider. Now, that doesn't mean never throw anything out. Our people, they're hoarders, and you got to read all those books, and you can't disdain anything. But you should never consider any duty too insignificant for you to fulfill. Whoever neglects his duty in the smallest detail will be answerable for it. Just as you should be God-fearing, so too you should be mitzvah-fearing. But to fear God is to respect his mitzvahs and not to violate any of his laws. To one who truly respects God's laws, nothing is insignificant. He attends to the law, not to its object, and whatever God makes the object of his law gains importance, no matter how insubstantial it may be in itself. The God-fearing person pays attention to the smallest detail of divinely directed law, and for this attention his conscientiousness is richly rewarded. Every detail of a mitzvah. People make fun of that. They're looking at the lulav and searching so hard. Hashem loves it when you're searching for that perfect lulav. And you're searching for that perfect esrog. The one who just goes, oh, just give me whatever you have on the shelf. Then how much are you mashavit? When you're mashavit something, if you're mashavit a diamond, what do? You scrutinize that diamond for any scratches. You want to make sure it's perfect. It's so well cut. Why? Because if something's precious to you, you're going to examine it. Same way the Moshe Pratzen says, what do you call the mitzvah visiting the sick? It's called Bikur Cholim. People mistranslate Bikur Cholim as visiting the sick. That's not what it means. Bikur is a Lashon, a terminology of Bikur HaKarbonos, which was closely examining and inspecting an animal, every little dot on that animal, to make sure it was not a Baal Mum. Because if it had any imperfection, any ailment whatsoever, you can't offer it. If you're going to bring a carbon, you're going to bring the best carbon. You're going to bring the best sacrifice to Hashem Yisbarach, and you're going to give him the best of the best. Hevel bought a sheep, Kain, oh, I'll give my lowly flax, my pishdan, I'll give the fruits and vegetables. You're going to give a sacrifice to God, you got to go and bring the best. So what do? For 4 days, you have Bikur moment. 4 days before you can bring the karma, you have to examine it for 4 days to watch it closely. And right, so Moshe Feinstein, Bikur Chola means examine the Chola closely. What does that sick person need? How many times do we walk in and we say, oh, okay, what? And the person really wants to sleep. Oh, no, but I'm here, I came all the way. It's my mitzvah, you got to stay up. But did you examine, what does the Chola want to do? Maybe the Chola doesn't want company right now. Or what about vice versa? Famous story from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He once left Shari Chesed and visited someone, an elderly Yid from Shari Chesed, who was in Shari Tzedek Hospital. And he went to visit him, and the person was asleep. So, what do most people do when the person's asleep? Yes. I'll just leave a note, they'll know that I came all the way. No, go have lunch with my friends, that's it, I did my mitzvah. I'll show them my ice, I came all the way. I'll let them know, that's it, you know I was here. I'm not going to wake them up. Shlomo Zalman says to the nurse, please wake him up, Jeff. The nurse says, Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Orbach, but he's sleeping. He says, I know what's going to happen. He's going to find out
that Rosh Hashanah Merovach came. And he's going to be upset and hitting himself. I was asleep, Rosh Hashanah. How could you not wake me up, nurse? How did you not wake me up, nurse? He says, Rosh Hashanah was a tremendous Adav, but he knew what a cover that person would have, that the Golden Hadar came to visit me. So he knew Rosh Hashanah said, in general, you never wake up a sleeping person, you let them sleep. But if the Golden Hadar comes to visit, he knew who he was, and he knew the simcha that he would give this year, that Rosh Hashanah left Shari Chesed to come visit. He's going to be upset at the doctors and the nurses that they didn't wake him up. To greet, he says, wake him up, let him know that I'm here, I'll spend a couple of minutes, and then we'll tell him to go right back to sleep. But he knew what his simcha would bring him. And Rosh Hashanah was like, I have to, right? Rav Chaim Kanevsky was going to go see him in the house, you better wake me up. I have to, you better, of course he wake him up. That's Rosh Hashanah. And you have to do Bikur, you have to know what does this scholar want? Do they want company? Do they want to sleep? And that's what gives us the shlemus. Continuing Pasuk Yedalot. Torah Schochem Mekor Chayim, Havalosur Mimok Shem Aves. Torah Schochem, the teachings, the instructions, and the wisdom of a wise person is in Mekor Chayim, is the source of all life. To teach you to do what? Lasur. To turn away from Moshe Mabas, the snares and the fangs of death. You want to go in and stay away from death. You want to stay away from. The Vilna Gaon continues this pasuk, the theme from the preceding one. That means what? First we talked about your Evar. It means the parts of the whole. The parts of the whole are the mitzvahs. But what's the source that gives everything life? What's the source of nourishment that gives your whole being, your whole essence, your neshama life? Torah is Mekor Chayim. That's the source of all life. His stomach of Arayis of Arama, God looked into the Torah, the blueprint of creation, and he created the world. That's the starting point. So the Gemara says, even though every Maisa Mitzvah brings Shleimus to that respective Eber, that limb, to which it corresponds. But Torah Schachem, no, and that it's the wisdom and the all-encompassing Torah that gives life even to the mitzvahs. That's the source of all life. And that's what teaches you to keep away from the snares of death. Which gives you what? The ultimate protection. A mitzvah is megen b'shaita, Chazal say. A mitzvah protects you while you're doing it. But Torah protects you all the time. Torah is that all-encompassing, invisible shield, and it's the source of life. Thus, the Vilna Gaon points out, the two psukim are clearly connected. The mitzvahs are no snid koach la'ivorim. And they bring about the shlemus of the ivorim. That's the chitzonios. That's what gives you the outer appearance that everything is okay. But Torah is etzem chayim. Torah is the lifeblood, the life force. Meaning what? Using metaphors, the limbs of the body and the skeletal framework, those correspond to the mitzvahs. But the limbs can't do their purpose, can't serve their respective function. Unless what? Unless there's blood. Ki adam hu nefesh. What's given? What's circulating to allow and empower and enable those evarim to serve their respective function? That is the lifeblood. That's the life-giving force. That's the book. That's the Torah. The Torah is Chayim. Is the blood of life. Kedam v'nefesh. Keim chayinu v'yorach yemeinu. Listen to the Torah of the Chacham. Yes, do the mitzvahs, but if you really want to attach yourself to the source, go and give nourishment now to those mitzvahs. You have to listen to the Chacham. You have to learn their Sfarim, the Shir Mechulei. That's what gives you life, to turn away from any of the snares, to keep you off a dangerous path. That's what's going to go ahead and give you that connection. Right? So it is David, and the Kor Chayim, and the Mekor Nevei Chayim, the source from which all life emanates, that is Liman HaTorah, which keeps you away from all the snares. What are the snares? Hey, Ma'avonos, those are the Averos. If you want to know how to fear the Los Aseis, attach yourself to the source of life, to the Torah, and that's going to give you that ultimate protection. So, I'm listening to the Chacham, I'm following his ways, I'm learning the Torah, and I'm doing the mitzvahs. Seichel tov, yitein chen. What's going to happen now? If you have good intellect, good common sense, that is going to produce, that is going to give you chen. That's going to envelop you with a grace and a charm. If you have the seichel, I write to the girl which is in the Torah, seichel, that's intellect. Common sense derived from the Torah. V'gamu tov, it's not just seichel tov, it's having seichel and having tov. What is tov? Shleimus and midos tovos. You can't just have the Torah, you need to have the midos. You can't just have the Torah, you have to have the mitzvahs. You need the Torah, the mitzvahs, and what? And you have to have the midos. That's the progression, right? It's the Vilna Gaon. First we talk about the mitzvahs. Meaning what? First we got to understand the form of the human being is produced al yedei the combination of the Evarim and the Gidim. The mitzvahs say, the mitzvahs lo say. That's the number 613. That's what gives you the kiyah. But now what? Now you got to infuse life-giving force into that skeletal structure. What does that is the Torah, that's the Mekor Chayim, that's the spring of life. That's the origin of everything. Now infuse the blood and give it life. Now that you've given it life, now you got to get to what? Shlemus. Shlemus is tone on the seichel, tone on your intellect. You can't just learn the Torah. You got to use and have the driving force. What's behind the steering wheel? Your intellect, and you also need to have tov. You have to have shleimus. That's the only goal. Midos tovos, then and only then eating chayim. Shakom esmar and bo kamosh amru. Asher misha linda Torah. The Gemara explains to you what they felt on an olive. That when people look and they say, look at that person, they have wisdom and they have midos tovos. That's a kiddush Hashem. That's a walking kiddush Hashem. I want to be like that. And that brings about the kiddush Hashem all over the world. What gives grace and charm? Malachim lefnei Hashem Yisbarach and Malachim lefnei Bnei Adam. When people see you're driven by your intellect, not your emotions, your seichel, and by tov, and by shleimus and midos tovos, midos mitzuyanos, that's what's going to produce chayim, and that's what's going to take you to a whole madrega. And that, writes the Ibn Ezra, that chayim is going to be what? It's going to be a chayim in the eyes of everybody. Ibn Ezra points out, if you use your intellect always to do good in accordance with the intellect, then that will produce chayim in the eyes of everybody. And what's the contrast? The derech bodim esam. And what the path of traitors is what? Esam, like a nachal esam. Esam literally means strong, strength. And this sense it means harsh. Harsh, stubborn, not giving in to wanting to listen to anything. The same way the Malbim writes, we have a nachal esam. What's a nachal? A valley where you can't grow anything in that valley. Why? Because it's stubborn. It doesn't take in the water. It doesn't allow for any fertilization. It doesn't allow for any growth. A person says, I don't want to grow. If you're going to be harsh, if you're going to be strong, then what? You're never going to grow. Not only will you not be malachim, ba'ini Hashem, or ba'ini karoah, but what? You're not going to listen to any rebuke, to any musr, any tochacha. You're not going to listen to anything. So what do we need? We need a few steps. We need the mitzvahs, asay losasay. We need the Torah's chacham to keep you off the bad path. But now you got to take the Torah, take the wisdom, use your seichel, work on your midas, get the shleimus in your midas, and then you'll produce chay, because then you got the shleimus. Someone produces shalim, and you will be malachim in the eyes of Hashem, in the eyes of everybody else. And the contrast is, but those who rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, those who are bogim, what are they? They're on a derech esan, they're on a harsh path that says what? I'm not interested in growth. I'm not interested in receiving any water, any fertilization. Mayim e'mayim e'latorah. That's why Nachal Esan, a valley that's Nachal Esan, is so hard. You can't plant. It doesn't really receive the water. It doesn't receive fertilization. It doesn't want to grow. That's the contrast. Someone who's looking to grow is Malachim e'karov. Someone who's not interested in growing is a traitor. And that is the contrast. And therefore what? Whatever you do in life, make sure to use your seichel and be driven by that seichel. That's why Shlomo continues, Kol Arim Yaseh B'das. Any wise, astute, clever person, the snake was Arim from all the brios. Make yourself clever and wise. Yaseh B'das, always use your das. Always use your knowledge and make sure your actions are driven by your das. And meaning what? You've received the counsel, the instructions, the teachings of the Chacham. You've allowed, you've made yourself a fertile soil. You want to receive the mind of Torah. You want to receive the fertilization. You want to receive everything. I want to grow. I want to get everything. But now what? If you're going to be clever and you're going to use your das, you're going to use your knowledge and be driven not by an emotional thrust, but the thrust propelling you every step of your life is going to be your das. That's what's in front. Well, Kasil, with the foolish one who is not acting with his das, he's not clever, he's not astute. And Yifros, he tells us, what does he do? Yifros, he spreads it out, disseminates it. He broadcasts his sin, his iniquity, his foolishness. He spreads it out to the entire world. And writes Rashi, look at the contrast. Kolorim yaseh b'das maseu, all your actions do with knowledge. Can go? David, Yivashul Adonai HaMelech, Narab Asum HaGomet. When David sought a young maiden, what did he do? He says, bring me one woman at a time. Well, let me see, is this the one I'm supposed to marry? Ksil Yipros Ivelis, Zachashverish. The Afghan Amelach Bekidim, and Yodim Hayushalo Yisa Lakulam, Mishahiro Vasat Mina. And David says, I'm going to marry one woman. Everyone at a time, bring me one woman who's going to marry the Melach. So everybody rushed, oh, I want it to be my daughter, I want it to be my daughter. What did Zachashverish say?
Bring me every woman in the world, right? Just right away, acting on impulse, emotions. Bring me every. So whatever you want, we don't know. They hid. Everyone tried to hide their daughter that they wouldn't marry Achashverosh. That's the contrast, Rashi says. A clever person, a wise person, acts with das. What does that mean? Adas means I'm going to think things through. Chokhma is wisdom. Bina is understanding, which means what? I take that initial burst of wisdom and I develop it. I nurture it. Bina, maven dover, mitof dover. I develop it and I nurture it. A woman is associated with Bina. She takes the man's initial burst of energy. She takes his egg. She fertilizes the egg and she nurtures it over 9 months. She develops it. That is Bina. Maven dover, mitof dover. She takes one thing and acts on it, develops it, and nurtures it until it grows to fruition, to actualization. That's Bina. There's Chokhma. Das is the driving point of knowledge. What are you going to do with that Chokhma? That's what Ramchal writes in Baruch Hashem. Das is associated with Bechira. When I'm ready to act, what am I using? I'm using my Das. Das is Bechira Chavshus. I'm using my Das. Eitz Das Tovara. Am I going to think about doing a Maisa Tov or doing a Maisa Ra? That is my Das. Das means I'm thinking. Think before you speak. Think before you act. Always meaning what? Patience. The same idea we said a few weeks ago. The first crucial lesson on the pages of Pirkei Avos, have him as soon as you can. Don't rush to judge anyone. Don't rush to judge Hashem. Take your time, be patient. What's a classic example? In addition to the one that Rashi quoted, why do we find that sometimes even righteous people do aveiros? Because they act on impulse without thinking things through properly. The Havdil, yes, the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Nun Hey, that Reuven didn't really sin. On his Madrega, though, it is considered an Aveira. On our Madrega, Reuven, when his mother was insulted, because after the death of Rachel, who was the Ikar that cursed Abayas, what did Reuven do? Bilbo Yitzui Amita, he mixed up the beds, he went and put Yaakov's bed in the tent of Leah, because now Rachel died, not Bilbo. How could you do that? How could you go ahead and decide what's going to be? That's a, it's a patch and punish to your father. It was a lack of keeping up. And he got punished because of it. What was the tikkun? Writes the Svarno in Parshas Vayeshev. Who's the one who really saved Yosef from death? And Reuven came back. And who saved Yosef from being killed? Reuven. No, in the end of the day, okay, we'll throw him into the pit. But who saved his life? Reuven. Writes the Svarno. By this action, he was Monea, the Pol HaPitomi. Svarno has a nice concept. He calls it the Pol HaPitomi, which means what? Pitom. Pitom is suddenly. There's a force inside each and every one of us that sometimes, and what happens? Somebody wrongs us. Run away, we got to seek revenge. Run away, I got to say, Lashra. Stop and think. Why? The therapist tells us, you're angry? Stop and count to 10. Stop and count to 100. Why? Point is, don't act on impulse, because there's a part of us that our natural instinct is what? Instinct react. I want to go ahead and instantly react. That's called the pull up into eight. Someone just told me, oh, right away, I saw what this person did in Lashana, right away, Motashem, right away, Rechisa. Stop, analyze, assess the situation. I just had a situation, Mamash, yesterday, where there were emails going back and forth between some people in the community. Turns out, the whole thing was miscommunication. And a shidduch, not too long ago, that almost broke apart, all because of miscommunication. Mamash miscommunication. Things, how many times does shidduch break apart because people say things? And at the end of the day, Shidduchim are broken up and they misheard, they misrepresented. And all you had to do was look into things and find out and speak. This person's name, stop acting on impulse. Monea Pope to me. What happened? The brothers of Yosef. Oh, Yosef's Chaimisa, we got to kill him right away. Let's go. Reuven says, stop, think. What about the pain living across the Yaakov? What about Yosef? What about, this isn't leave it up to Hashem, put him in a pit instead of a don't go in and kill him. He was Monea Pope to me. That was the tikkun of what Reuven, his error that he early became. Because what was the sin of what? Of mixing up the beds, acting on impulse. Wait a second, Rachel died? Of course Yaakov's bed has to be in the tent of Leah, my mother. I get it, all right. Wait a second, oh, he acted on impulse, he acted so quickly, and that's why the Musar in Parshas Vayechi, Pachas Kamayim Altosa. He was unstable like water. Water is moving, water just flows, moving away himself to flow. Set up a dam, set up a barrier, hold yourself in check. Pull up into me. When he prevented the death of Yosef, right this morning, that was the tikkun. So too over here, the arm, the clever person, always uses his das, always says, I got the seichel tov, act and speak in accordance with your das, but the fool, who is not clever, just goes with his emotions. What happens? He acts foolishly, and he ends up broadcasting and announcing his foolishness to the entire world. Always use your das, and make sure they're doing the right thing,
And I met Hashem next week. We'll continue passing your time.
Question.
Yeah.
Can you please define three different words that are... I'm not sure how... Respect,
yes.
Fear, and awe.
Okay, so let's talk about fear and awe very quickly. Fear is this fear of this trepidation. I'm afraid of getting punished. Yiras Onesh. I'm afraid of getting punished. I'm afraid of any harm that's going to come my way. That's the lowest level of Yiras Onesh. That's fear. Fear of punishment. Fear of any suffering in any way, shape, or form that I might suffer as a consequence for not doing the mitzvah, so for transgressing the Yiras Onesh. Then I have awe. Awe means what? What's holding me back from violating the negative commandments? Not because I'm afraid of getting punished. I am so held in awe of the awesomeness and stills a level of, wow, this is so awesome. I can't do it. Not because I'm afraid of getting punished. I can't. There are also things in awe of somebody else. The king of all above. So there might be that you might be a subject in that kingdom. You might be afraid that if you don't stand in attention, when your king walks by, he might punish you. Your family might suffer consequences. That's fear. Or it is you're visiting this country. And now that same king, you know you're not going to be subject to the laws and rules and regulations of that king. But you're held in awe. Look at him with the royal entourage and his whole royal power. That instills awe in you. You're also going to stand respect. You're not afraid of getting punished. Oh, wow. It's an august, there he is, the king in his august appearance, and instills a sense of awe in me. A male I'm not going to transgress. I'm not going to run after the Dutch king. Respect is, and I'm also showing respect at the same time. And not only that I'm so held in awe by the appearance, by the retinue, by the entourage, but I respect the king for certain things. I can be held in awe even if I don't respect him, because of the capacity that king assumes. Meaning, I don't know the king as an individual. I don't respect the king as an individual. I don't know what type of king he is. I just see the presence of a president coming by. Let's use it, I guess, the president, right? So someone who is living in Washington, D.C., or someone who's living in the United States, knows that I better not upset the president, because he might take it out, a lobbyist, right? He might take it out on your lobbying group, whatever it is. So that's fear. Or is, well, what am I in law? Not because I respect the president, because when you see the limousines coming by, and you see the royal entourage and the secret service, wow. Now, when you see the whole secret service, wow, that instills awe in a person. I don't want to go too near. I don't want to go too close. That instills awe. But I don't respect President Obama. Mm-hmm. You might not respect him, but you're held in awe by the seat, by the capacity, by the office of the president. Respect is, do I respect President Obama? That's a whole different question. So there's respect, there's awe, and there's fear. Have a great day.